This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got my friend Dean Vandermeer on the line of Set Free Ministries. And Dean, we're going to be talking about East Africa. I sent you that Guardian article that was talking about Ghana specifically and just how the mentally ill are literally shackled out in the yard because families don't know how to deal with them. Set Free has been working in East Africa for some time now. How long have you guys been there, and what kind of work do you do?
We've been in East Africa since in 2005. We were first invited there, and we went. We were first invited to Uganda, but we've expanded now. We've either founded or supported 17 Christian schools there. Now, and one in Sudan, two in Kenya, and I think 14 in Uganda. So, yeah, we've been very busy since 05. And we start to see some of the things that you're talking about with children who have mental deficiencies or who have disabilities are discarded. So we've seen that actually in East Africa. So, and we're doing something about that. There's actually a gal that came here and asked if Set Free would help her with some of her donors. And so there's actually a home in Kenya called Engedi, and it's a ministry just for the handicapped who would have been either thrown out, and they actually put them in the jungle and they let the wild dogs come and eat them at times. So it's even worse than you might think. Sometimes they're not just chained to a pole, they're actually left to die. So we have to overcome kind of the cultural things that go on in East Africa, and we're doing something about that.
And how, I guess, can you explain a little bit about some of your programs and how you help Christian leaders respond not only to this issue, but to others?
Well, when we went there in 05, we really went to conduct. It was we call it a freedom appointment. Dr. Neil Anderson put a program together where you take people through repentance, and so we were doing that in a local church there in the region of Rockeye. And Rockeye had 95% unemployment at the time. 50% of the people that we were ministering to had AIDS, and there were thousands of orphans walking around, kind of hollow-eyed, and I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. And so that was kind of my baptism into fire when we went to Rockeye, Uganda. And in Rockeye, Uganda, there's a little village called Kasensero. It's a fishing village, and that's where AIDS began. And so there was, you know, the people group that we were ministering to was very infected with AIDS. And in that same region, there's, for every 11 people, there's one witch doctor. So the witchcraft in that area is very, very strong, and they hold everyone through fear because everyone has been abused by a witch doctor there. Because when you get sick there, and everyone's sick because they have malaria, they have waterborne diseases, their water's terrible. So anytime you get a bellyache, you go to the local witch doctor. The first thing he will do is he pulls the curtains, and that's where you're going to be sexually abused as a child. After that, he will give you the herbs to cure you. And so they really, the witch doctors hold everyone through fear and terror, and there's demonization that goes with it. So if you want to help people in East Africa, you got to be in for the long haul, and you got to help them spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And that's what we're doing through the schools.
And can you tell me more about that school? You guys recently built a high school. We've followed that path with you for several months. Can you tell me the latest update?
Yeah, we started last year in January of 2019. We started building buildings, and we have enough buildings up now to invite the first group of 200 students in at Light Academy. And we're excited about that because when the high school is done, it's going to be the next 4 years we're going to be building it. It's a five-year project, but we're going to have 1,200 boarding students at the high school, and we're going to have another 800 students at the vocational training center. And all of our students, all 2,000 of them, will go through vocational training. So we're going to teach them basic life skills. We're going to teach them accounting. We're going to teach them how to do family farming. We're going to teach them things that if you didn't have a mom and dad that were supposed to teach you, those are the things that we're going to be training them on through the Vocational Training Center. Also, we're going to do motorcycle repair and some of the things for the girls. We're going to do hair and nails, and they're going to learn how to sew. So it's we want the young adult that comes to our school will be fully equipped and ready for university or ready for life at the age of 19. And we will have ministered to them from the age of 4 or 5 all the way through. So that was the goal, and that's what's happening.
And obviously with that type of commitment, there's got to be some stories of impact. Can you share maybe one or two of those and then talk about how people can get involved?
Sure. Impact story was a little boy that had his legs broken through abuse when he was a very young child, maybe 3 or 4. And so his legs, when they were broken, twisted backwards. So his feet were actually pointing backwards. And he was thrown along the roadside, left for dead. A local family saw him. His name was Robert. And they picked him up. And we invited him to come to one of our schools, even though he was severely handicapped. And not only that, but we heard about Robert, and we had some donors wanting to help repair his legs. And so he went through four very extensive surgeries. Actually, a surgeon actually took Robert into his home, and he lived with him for an entire year. And the surgeon would do surgeries every 4 or 5 months and then let him heal and then do it a little bit more. And today, Robert can run, he can walk, and he's the top student in his class. He's valedictorian, and he's a bright young man, and he's a leader of his class. So that's a great story. And I got to meet him a couple years ago when I was there, and we'll meet him again in the next 3 weeks when we go back.
What about the spiritual impact?
Spiritual impact. We're seeing a lot of children who have been loved to life. Love covers over a multitude of sins. And when we were there, the reason why there's so much death in Uganda was because of AIDS, and that's because of sexual immorality. And so who was suffering the most but the children? And so the children were left abandoned and alone. And we went to some of the pastors there, and we said, look, pure and faultless religion is to care for orphans and widows in distress. So it's not just repenting of your sexual immorality that's causing all the AIDS, but it's also putting off that old man, but it's also putting on the new man. So let's start living in such a way that God would be glorified through the way we live as we care for orphans and widows in distress. And so we found a few pastors there that were willing to do that, and we partnered with them. And we said, look, we have funds, we have money, you have time and talent, and if we do this together as the church universal, then this will work as we combine our efforts. And so we co-joined in ministry together, and the results have been astonishing, because we started in January 1 of 06 was our first school with 42 kids, and now we've founded or supported 17 schools, and there's 4,800 children. So 100-fold plus.
And my final question, you guys are heading there in a few weeks there soon for a few weeks. How can people pray for you during this time, and what are some other ways they can help?
Well, they can help. Prayers, obviously, what this whole ministry is bathed in. And so praying for safe travel and for health. The last time I was there, I got malaria twice when I came home, and I nearly died. So pray for health. Pray for safety, and then pray that God would be glorified through the stories, through the witnesses. Satan can't touch two things in Scripture. It says he can't touch the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we have a lot of testimonies that need to be shared, and we have a lot of witch doctors that really hate us there. And so, you know, pray for spiritual safety for our teams, and also a covering that the angelic host would go before us, but also the witnesses who have their stories to tell, that they could tell them and give God the glory and praise, do his name. And that's why we're doing it anyway, for the glory of Christ, which was the name of the first church, Glory of Christ. So we kind of like that.
Awesome. That ends my questions. Was there anything I missed or anything else you'd like to add?
Well, if anyone would like to, we're always needing donations to make this happen. It's just it's a part of the reality here is this takes a lot of money to build a new high school. We need $5 million to build this new high school. And it's more money than we've ever even ventured to raise. In fact, we had to double our budget to do it. So we need some donors who are willing to step up to the plate and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. And we'd love to share the story with them.